Okay, so picture this. You've been working somewhere for a while, maybe you even really like it, and then boom, things change, you're out of a job.
Yeah, it happens.
It's stressful, right? It can be tough to figure out what to do next, but knowing your rights is a good place to start.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're doing today. We're taking a deep dive into something called the Employment Standards Act, or ESA for short.
It's like the rule book for employment in Ontario.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we're using the official Ontario Government Guide to the ESA, updated this year, 2024. So we've got the latest info hot off the presses, fresh,
Fresh.
fresh. Okay. So let's say you're working in Ontario and for whatever reason your job ends. What are the absolute must-knows?
Well, the first thing to understand is what actually counts as termination legally. It's not always as simple as, getting fired.
Okay. So there's more to it than just getting the axe.
Yeah, definitely. Like, let's say you're laid off, but for a period that goes beyond what the ESA considers temporary.
So a layoff that drags on and on.
Exactly. It can actually become a termination, legally speaking.
Interesting. So being laid off indefinitely could actually be considered termination. What else?
Another one that might surprise people is if your employer goes bankrupt.
Oh, right.
It's not your fault, of course, but you're considered terminated.
Yeah, your job's gone poof.
It just disappears.
Even if it's not like, the typical you're fired scenario. So we've got layoffs that go on too long, bankruptcy. Any other ways a job can end that might not be so obvious but still qualify as termination under the ESA?
Oh, for sure. What if your boss drastically changes your job? And I mean, like, really changes it without your consent.
Okay, so like what kind of changes are we
Well,
talking?
they could demote you to a much lower position
Ouch.
or slash your pay, like,
Don't
significantly,
build that.
or even force you to relocate somewhere that makes your life way harder.
Yeah, like if you live in downtown Toronto and they suddenly want you to work in Thunder Bay.
Exactly, something like that.
So if you quit because your employer basically pulls a stunt like that, it's
Yeah.
not really quitting, right? I mean, they've kind of forced you out.
Right. And that's what's called constructive dismissal. It's like they've terminated your original job by changing it so much.
It's termination in disguise.
Kinda. And the important thing to remember is that if you quit under these circumstances, you might still be entitled to notice or termination pay.
That's a good point. It really shows why understanding the ESA is so important because it's not always so clear cut. Speaking of not so clear cut, let's talk about just cause termination. So if I get fired, does my employer actually have to give me a reason?
Nope, not necessarily.
Really? So they could just let me go without any explanation?
Under the ESA, yeah, in most cases, they don't have to give you a specific reason.
Huh. That seems a little harsh.
It can feel that way,
Hello.
but there are exceptions. Like, even though an employer doesn't always have to provide a reason, there are still situations where firing someone is illegal, even if they give you the right amount of notice or pay.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of situations would make a termination illegal?
One big one is what's called willful misconduct. It basically means you did something wrong on purpose and you knew it could get you fired.
Like stealing company property or something.
Right, or like repeatedly calling in sick when you're not actually sick, or using company resources for your own personal gain.
So it's about being deliberately dishonest or doing something intentionally harmful.
Yeah, basically, simple mistakes or unintentional errors, those don't usually fall under willful misconduct.
Okay, that makes sense. So it has to be more than just a slip up or a one-time thing. But what about more serious offenses?
Things like theft, fraud, constantly being late or absent without a good reason, things that are a serious breach of trust.
Or if your actions put the company or your coworkers in danger.
Exactly. Those could all be grounds for termination for just cause.
Got it. So just cause is really about actions that seriously jeopardize the company or violate trust. Okay, but let's shift gears a bit and assume I'm terminated not for just cause, but for some other reason. What am I entitled to in Ontario?
Well, the ESA lays out some important protections, but there's a catch. You need to have been continuously employed for at least 3 months to qualify for most of them.
Hold on, continuously employed. What does that even mean? Does taking a sick day reset the clock or going on vacation?
Good question. Continuously employed basically means you've been working for the same employer without any major breaks. Think of it as an ongoing relationship. Short absences like sick leave or vacation, those don't disrupt that. Even short layoffs might not affect it.
Okay, so it's about the overall pattern of employment.
Right. But a layoff that drags on longer than what the ESA considers temporary, that could reset that 3-month clock.
So short breaks are fine, but long layoffs can change things.
Got it. So what happens once you hit that 3-month mark and your employment is terminated?
Then you're entitled to either written notice or termination pay instead of notice.
Okay, so how much notice or pay are we talking about?
It depends on how long you've worked for that employer. The longer your period of employment, the more notice you get. It can range from 1 week for less than a year of service, all the way up to 8 weeks if you've been there 8 years or more.
So the more time you've put in, the more protection you have. Exactly. And all of this is laid out super clearly in a chart right in the ESA.
Handy. So it's worth checking out to see where you stand based on your own situation. And just to clarify this, notice or pay in lieu of notice is totally separate from severance pay, which we'll get into a little later.
Right. Separate thing.
Okay. So we've got notice periods and termination pay, but we'll tackle severance pay a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's circle back to that constructive dismissal thing. It sounds a bit complicated. Can you give us some like real life examples of what that might look like?
Sure. Imagine your employer suddenly demotes you to a much lower position without your consent.
Oh.
Or they drastically cut your pay, making it impossible to, you know, meet your financial obligation. Or maybe they force you to relocate to a place that makes your life significantly harder.
Mm.
Like I said before, if you live in Toronto and they want to move you to Timbuktu.
Right, that's a big change.
Yeah, so these are all potential examples of constructive dismissal.
So if these changes are significant and you didn't agree to them, quitting in response could actually count as termination.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that the ESA lays out the minimum standards. You might even have stronger rights under something called common law, which we can talk about more later.
Okay, we'll have to get into that. But it sounds like constructive dismissal can be tricky to navigate.
It can be.
If you think this is happening to you, it's always a good idea to get legal advice right.
Definitely always a good idea to talk to an expert.
Okay, let's shift gears again and talk about mass terminations.
Yep.
What happens when a bunch of people lose their jobs all at once?
So when 50 or more employees are terminated at a single establishment within a 4-week period, a different set of rules comes into play.
Hold on, what exactly defines an establishment? Like if a company has offices all over Ontario, does that matter?
It does. An establishment is basically a location where the employer conducts business. Different locations could be considered one establishment if they're in the same municipality or if employees have seniority rights that extend across locations, you know, so they could bump other employees. But here's where it gets interesting. As of October 26th, 2023, an employee's home can actually be considered an establishment if they work exclusively from home.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty recent change.
It is. It's a relatively new update to the ESA.
Makes sense with so many people working remotely these days. So if a company with lots of remote workers decides to lay off a bunch of people working from home, those employees are now counted when determining if it's a mass termination.
Exactly.
That's a big deal. So you mentioned different rules for mass terminations. What are they?
The main difference is the length of the notice period. In a mass termination, the notice periods are longer, no matter how long an individual employee has been with the company.
Interesting. How much longer are we talking?
Well, it depends on the scale of the layoff. It's 8 weeks if between 50 and 199 employees are terminated, 12 weeks for 200 to 499 employees, and it goes up to 16 weeks if 500 or more employees are let go.
Wow, that's a lot longer than the standard notice periods. Why the difference?
It's designed to give employees more time to find new jobs and, you know, transition during what could be a pretty difficult time. When a large number of people are suddenly out of work, it can make the job market more competitive.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's kind of a bigger safety net.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered what counts as termination reasons for termination notice periods and mass terminations. But what happens if you think your employer didn't follow the rules? What can you actually do about it?
Well, the first thing to remember is that the ESA lays out the minimum standards. You might actually have additional rights under what's known as common law, which is basically law that comes from court decisions rather than legislation.
Mm.
Think of it as like a separate layer of protection.
So it's possible to be entitled to even more than what the ESA provides.
Yep. There's actually a legal term for this. It's called wrongful dismissal. If you believe you are wrongfully dismissed, you can actually sue your former employer for damages that go beyond those ESA minimums. But we'll dive into that more a bit later.
All right, wrongful dismissal. We'll be exploring that soon.
Definitely lots more to uncover.
But first, I think it's time for a quick break. We'll be back in a flash to continue our deep dive into the ESAO. Stay tuned.
See you soon.
Welcome back. We're digging deeper into the Ontario Employment Standards Act, the ESA. And before the break, we were talking about wrongful dismissal. What is that all about?
Yeah, so wrongful dismissal, it's basically when you're arguing that your termination violated your rights, but like beyond what the ESA covers.
So even if an employer followed the ESA perfectly, they could still be sued for wrongful dismissal.
Exactly. The ESA sets the minimum standard, but common law, which comes from court decisions, can provide additional protection.
Okay, so common law kind of fills in the gaps where the ESA might fall short.
Right. Like, let's say you're fired for being pregnant. The ESA doesn't specifically say you can't be fired for that, but common law would likely protect you.
Oh, interesting. So discrimination is a no-go, even if the ESA doesn't spell it out. What are some other situations that might fall under a wrongful dismissal?
One big one is inadequate notice. So let's say the ESA requires 2 weeks' notice, but your employment contract says you get 4 weeks, and your employer only gives you two.
Ah, so they're breaking their own contract.
Right. That could be a breach of contract, which could lead to a wrongful dismissal claim.
So your contract can actually give you more protection than the ESA.
It can. And it's not just about the notice period. If your employer didn't follow their own internal policies and procedures during termination, that could also be a problem. Or, like, imagine they make all these promises about severance pay or benefits in your contract, and then they don't deliver.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Not at all. So wrongful dismissal isn't just about what's in the ESA. It's about your entire employment relationship, your contract company policies, whether your employer acted in good faith, all of that.
It sounds complicated.
It can be, which is why it's so important to talk to an employment lawyer if you think you might have a claim.
Yeah, a lawyer can help you figure out if you have a case.
Exactly. Now let's talk about something else that often causes confusion, Ravel. Termination pay versus severance pay. Are those the same thing under the ESA?
I've heard they're not, but I'm still a little fuzzy on the details. Can you clear that up for us?
Sure. So termination pay is basically the payment you receive instead of working through a notice period. Remember we talked about how much notice you're entitled to based on how long you've worked somewhere?
Right.
If your employer doesn't want you to actually work through that notice period, they have to pay you instead. That's termination pay.
Okay, so termination pay is like a buyout of the notice period.
You got it. But severance pay is totally different. It's a completely separate entitlement, and you only qualify for it under certain circumstances.
What are those circumstances?
First, your employer needs to have a payroll of at least $2.5 million, and you need to have worked for them for at least 5 years.
So if I work for a smaller company, I wouldn't get severance pay even if I've been there for a long time.
That's right. Severance pay under the ESA is specifically for employees of larger companies who have been there for a while.
Okay. Bigger companies, longer tenures.
Mm.
Got it. So let's say I do work for a company that meets those criteria. How is severance pay calculated?
It's based on your regular wages and how long you've been with the company.
Mm.
For every year of service, you get 1 week's worth of your regular pay.
So if I work somewhere for 10 years and my weekly wage was $1,000, I'd get $10,000 in severance.
Yep, exactly. But there's a cap. The maximum severance pay you can receive under the ESA is 26 weeks of pay. So even if you've been with a company for 30 years, your severance would be capped at 26 weeks.
Interesting. So there's a limit even for longtime employees. Okay. So we've talked about just cause, termination, wrongful dismissal notice periods, termination pay, severance pay. Is there anything else we need to know about our rights during termination in Ontario?
Yeah, there are a few more things. The ESA doesn't just deal with the money side of things. It also covers stuff like benefits continuation, your right to access your personnel records. And what happens if you're asked to sign a release in exchange for a severance package?
Benefits, records, releases. Okay, let's break those down one by one. First up, benefits. What happens to my health insurance or other benefits if I lose my job?
Generally, your employer has to keep your benefits going for the duration of your notice period. So whether they give you working notice or pay in lieu of notice, your benefits should continue during that time. Same goes for severance pay. If you're getting severance, your benefits should continue throughout that period.
So even if I'm not going into work anymore, I'm still covered.
Right. But keep in mind that the ESA sets the minimum standard. Your specific benefits plan might have different terms, so it's always a good idea to double check.
Okay, check the fine print. Got it. Now, what about my personnel records? Can I still access those after I leave a company?
Absolutely. You have the right to request and receive a copy of your personnel records, including things like your performance reviews, disciplinary records, any other documents your employer has about you.
And they can't say no.
Nope. They might charge a reasonable fee for copying the documents, but they can't withhold them. You have a right to that information.
Good to know. Finally, let's talk about those releases you mentioned. What should I be aware of if my employer offers me a severance package and wants me to sign a release in return?
This is where things can get tricky. So pay close attention. Never sign anything without fully understanding what you're agreeing to. If your employer wants you to sign a release, Always have an employment lawyer review it first.
Okay, so lawyer up before signing. Got it. But why is it so important to have a lawyer look it over?
A release is basically you agreeing to waive certain rights in exchange for something else, in this case, the severance package.
So it's like a trade-off. I get this money, but I might be giving up the right to sue them later.
Exactly. And you need to know what rights you might be giving up. For example, the release could prevent you from taking any further legal action against your employer, even if you later realize you were entitled to more than what they offered.
That's a big deal.
It is. An employment lawyer can help you understand all the implications of the release and make sure you're not shooting yourself in the foot.
This has been so helpful. We've covered so much ground today.
We have. We've gone over the basics of termination under the ESA, those tricky just cause situations, notice, periods, termination pay, severance, pay even common law rights, and wrongful dismissal.
It's clear that understanding your rights is super important when it comes to employment termination. It can be confusing.
For sure. And remember, if you're ever in this situation, don't hesitate to get legal advice from an employment lawyer. They can help you figure out your options and make sure you're protected.
Great advice. Now let's put all this knowledge to the test with some real life scenarios.
Sounds good. Let's see how this ESA knowledge can help in real world situations.
Okay, first scenario. You're working at a company that's been having some tough times. They've decided to make some changes to cut costs, and they come to you and say, "We're not firing you, but we are going to reduce your salary by 15% and change your job title." You're not happy about it, but you also really need this job. What are your options?
This is a perfect example of what we were talking about earlier, constructive dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you technically haven't been fired, a significant pay cut and a demotion could be considered a fundamental change to your employment contract.
So what can you do? Do you just have to accept it?
Not necessarily. You could try to negotiate with your employer, explain why the changes are unacceptable, and see if there's any room for compromise. If that doesn't work and you feel like you're being pushed out, you could consider resigning and claiming constructive dismissal.
But wouldn't resigning be risky? Huh? I mean, you're giving up your job?
It's a big decision, for sure. And it's important to weigh the risks and benefits. That's where getting advice from an employment lawyer can be really helpful. They can look at your specific situation and help you figure out the best way to move forward. But if you can successfully argue constructive dismissal, you might be entitled to the same notice or termination pay as if you had been fired.
So it's not a guaranteed win, but it's an option worth exploring.
Right. It all depends on the specifics of your case and whether the changes the employer made were substantial enough to be considered a fundamental breach of your employment contract.
Okay, next scenario. You work for a company that's suddenly laying off a big chunk of its workforce, including you. You've been there for 6 years and you're starting to freak out about your finances. What are the first things you should do?
First things first, take a deep breath. It's normal to feel stressed, but remember, knowledge is power. In this situation, the first step is to gather information. Find out exactly how many employees are being let go. This will help you figure out if it's a mass termination under the ESA.
Right, because that triggers those longer notice periods, which could make a big difference.
Exactly. If it is a mass termination, your notice period would be either 8, 12, or 16 weeks, depending on the total number of employees being laid off. Next, carefully review any documents your employer gives you. This includes your termination letter and any information about a severance package.
This is another spot where having an employment lawyer could be really helpful, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
A lawyer can explain all those documents in plain English and help you understand if the severance package is fair. They can also advise you on whether you have any grounds to negotiate for more or if you might have a claim for wrongful dismissal. Sometimes employers make mistakes and a lawyer can spot those.
Okay, last scenario. Imagine you're called into your manager's office and told your position is being eliminated. They hand you a letter with a severance package and ask you to sign a release right then and there. What should you do?
That's a huge red flag. Never sign a release or waiver without understanding what you're agreeing to. Politely, but firmly, tell your employer that you need time to review the documents with a lawyer before signing anything.
And what if they try to pressure you, like make you feel like you have to sign it right away?
Don't give in. It's your right to seek independent legal advice before making a decision that could have a major impact on your financial future.
It's worth taking the time to understand what you're giving up.
Absolutely. Having a lawyer review the release can save you a lot of trouble down the road.
This has been an incredibly insightful deep dive. We've gone through so much about the Ontario Employment Standards Act, and specifically what happens when a job ends.
It's a lot to take in, but hopefully our listeners are feeling more prepared and empowered to deal with these kinds of situations.
Absolutely. Remember, the ESA is there to protect you. It sets the minimum standards, and you might even have stronger rights under common law.
Right. And if you're ever facing a termination or have any questions about your specific situation, don't hesitate to reach out to an employment lawyer. They can be your guide and advocate when you need it most.
Great advice. And remember, even though it might not feel like it at the time, losing your job isn't the end of the world. It can actually be an opportunity for growth and change.
So true. It's a chance to reassess your goals, explore new possibilities, and maybe even find a job that you love even more.
Keep learning, stay informed, and as always, happy diving. All right, so we've spent this deep dive exploring all the ins and outs of the Ontario Employment Standards Act, especially when it comes to, you know, ending a job.
Lots to unpack.
Yeah, but knowing the rules is one thing. Actually seeing how they play out in real life can be totally different.
It's true. Real life situations, they can get messy.
Yeah, and it's easy to feel lost when you're in the middle of it all.
For sure.
So let's try to walk through a few scenarios that might sound familiar to some of our listeners out there.
Okay, sounds good. Let's put this ESA knowledge into action.
All right, first scenario. Imagine you're working at a company that's been struggling. They're trying to, you know, cut costs. And they come to you and say, we're not firing you, but we are going to reduce your salary by 15%, and we're also going to change your job title. You're not thrilled about it, but you really need this job. What do you do?
This is a classic example of what we were talking about earlier, constructive dismissal. Even though they haven't technically fired you, a big pay cut and a demotion that could be considered a fundamental change to your employment contract.
So what are your options? Do you just have to suck it up?
Not necessarily. You could try to negotiate with your employer, you know, explain why the changes are a problem and see if there's any room to compromise.
Right.
If that doesn't work and you feel like they're pushing you out, you could consider resigning and claiming constructive dismissal.
But isn't that risky? I mean, you're basically quitting.
It is a big decision, and it's important to think about the pros and cons. That's where getting advice from an employment lawyer can be super helpful. They can look at your situation and help you figure out the best way to handle it. But if you can successfully argue constructive dismissal, you might be entitled to the same notice or termination pay as if you'd actually been fired.
So it's not a guaranteed win, but it's something to think about.
Right. It all depends on the details of your case and whether those changes were big enough to be considered, you know, a serious breach of your contract.
Okay. Next scenario, you work for a company and suddenly they're laying off a bunch of people, including you. You've been there 6 years and you're understandably freaking out a bit about money. What are the first things you should do?
First, take a deep breath. It's normal to feel stressed, but remembering your rights can help.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, the first thing to do is gather information. Find out exactly how many employees are being laid off.
To see if it qualifies as a mass termination.
Exactly. Because if it is a mass termination, then those longer notice periods kick in, which could make a big difference financially.
Right.
And then carefully review any documents your employer gives you, like your termination letter or any info about a severance package.
And wouldn't this be another situation where having an employment lawyer could be really helpful?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A lawyer can help you make sense of all those documents and figure out if the severance package is actually fair. They can also advise you on whether you have any grounds to negotiate for more, or if you might have a claim for wrongful dismissal.
Okay, last scenario, picture this. You're called into your manager's office and they tell you your position is being eliminated. They hand you a letter with a severance package and want you to sign a release right then and there. What should you do?
Big red flag. Never ever sign anything like that without understanding what you're agreeing to.
Right.
Politely but firmly, tell your employer that you need some time to review the documents with a lawyer before signing anything.
What if they try to pressure you to sign right away?
Don't give in. It's your right to get independent legal advice before making a decision like that, especially one that could have a major impact on your finances.
So important. You're basically signing away potential legal rights, so it's worth taking the time to really understand what you're agreeing to.
Exactly. Having a lawyer check it out can save you so much trouble later on.
This has been such an informative deep dive. We've covered so much ground today, all about the Ontario Employment Standards Act and, you know, what happens when a job ends.
Definitely a lot of information, but hopefully our listeners are feeling a little more prepared and empowered to deal with these situations.
I hope so. Remember, the ESA is there to protect employees.
Okay.
It sets the minimum standards, and in some cases, you might even have stronger rights under common law.
And if you're ever facing a termination or have any questions about your situation, don't hesitate to contact an employment lawyer. They can be a real advocate for you when you need it most.
Couldn't agree more. And you know, even though it might feel like it at the time, losing your job isn't the end of the world, it can actually be a chance for something new and better.
It's an opportunity to rethink your goals, explore new possibilities, maybe even find a job you're even more passionate about.
So true. So keep learning, stay informed, and as always, happy diving.